So, very interesting stuff coming out right now in this House versus the NCAA class action lawsuit. Essentially, what this settlement is proposing is some restrictions on NIL. And basically, the headliner here is that what the deal is has to reflect the athlete's, quote, fair market value, the definition of a valid business purpose related to the promotion or endorsement of goods or services provided for the general public for profit. To police it, the NCAA would set up a third-party clearinghouse, which would require every Division I athlete to submit potential NIL deals that are more than $600 for approval. I read this today after you had talked about it, Pete, and I screamed. I literally screamed at my computer. I said, this is all well and good. This really is a brilliant way to monitor NIL. But why the heck didn't we do this before? Why wouldn't you come up with these guardrails ahead of time? Because it's impossible to put Pandora back in the box now.
It's incredible. We talked about it right out of the gate, though. We've been on this saying, hey, look, what are the parameters? What limits can be there? And trying to figure things out that would be fair, but also make sense, right? I mean, I think that was something that we've talked about. Anytime we've ever brought up NIL, we've talked about exactly that. I got some really weird stats for you, Dave, when it comes to NIL. So let's do this first one. Over one half of the NIL deals are valued at $100 or less. Now, how many people know that? How about this? The median value, when all is sorted out from the least to the greatest, is $62. Okay. The average value is $2,716. I bring all this up because of the fact that we always hear about these huge ones. And I've got a big one for you right here. The Texas Longhorns, right? In June, they went out and they offered Dia Bell, who is coming out of high school. He graduates in 2026, by the way. Texas Longhorns offered him $9.2 million in his NIL deal, $2 million signing bonus when he signs
That's
up
insane.
For them.
That's insane.
And an annual number of 1.6 million. I mean, where are we going?
Getting this money? I mean, it's just so interesting that again, we've talked about this. Not surprising that this got way out of control in an immediate hurry, right? I mean, the kid from Texas who showed up and there were like seven Lamborghinis in the parking lot and he got to pick one. It's so dirty and it just makes me want to take a bath. You know, like it's just, how are you going to pay an 18-year-old kid $9.2 million to play football for your school? And how are you, and this, to this point, I think this would clear this up. How would you be able to provide evidence to a third-party clearinghouse that a young man who's 18 years old, who's played high school football, is worth $9.2 million in fair market value?
Yeah.
There's no way to do that.
No.
You just can't. And I think for that reason, there's no way that they're going to be able to get this through, because you are limiting what these kids are going to be able to monetize themselves for. Mm-hmm. James Clausen, who's co-founder of the Tennessee NIL Collective and the Volunteer Club, said, quote, I'm reading from Front Office Sports, quote, the NCAA is again restricting an athlete's ability to fully monetize himself. I think that's just going to open up more lawsuits. He's not wrong.
No.
And it's not the kid's fault that these schools and that the NCAA said, all right, let's just open this up. Everybody run. Go ahead. Without putting guardrails on it. And now they're going, well, whoops, we really messed up. We got to fix this up. Once again, this proves to me that the NCAA is arguably the stupidest governing body out there. That they're trying, not only are they trying to do this now, but they're trying to do it after they've already made the NIL legal.
It's crazy, Dave. You know, there is some numbers out there too where they want to do the revenue share of roughly somewhere between $20 and $22 million a year, right? And most athletic departments in football is like 70-75% of the revenue, but that still puts you at 12.5 to 15 million as your NIL, essentially. I mean, it's your, you know, share of your revenue. It's these numbers are crazy. And it's amazing how they have just sort of sat back, let this go, try to see what happens, and now trying to figure out how do we fix it? Can we put it back in Pandora's box? We can't. And that's going to be one of the big issues as well. So it's just crazy. And to your point, Dave, I think that when you look back at the NCAA, and we've always known this, or at least we've known it for many, many years, that they seem to make mistakes at almost every turn. And I can even tell you, I sued the NCAA back in my freshman year in 1981 because I played one play yeah. of a game, and that counted as an entire year. So I got my year back. But why would I have to have done that? How did that make sense in the first place? The NCAA, they're wrong in just about everything that they do. And that's the part that makes it so frustrating is they just don't seem to have a handle on it. And they've opened this thing up that they can't close. And it's going to be a difficult thing to process for a really, really long time.
And part of the problem here, Pete, is that there's no foresight with this governing body, right? Oh. I mean, they basically had no choice but to start to allow NIL, or they were going to lose all the best players in college sports. And so rather than take some time and go, okay, let's think about how this is going to play out, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, how is this going to go as we move forward, instead of just going, all right, it's Wild West, go ahead and find all your deals, you know, go ahead, much money as you want, take $9 million from Tennessee and a Lamborghini from Texas and a Lamborghini from there too. But that lack of foresight and that lack of planning is what's the bigger problem here. The NIL is not the problem. It's how they governed and policed it. This lawsuit and these restrictions that they want to do is not the problem. It's the timing in which it's coming out. Mm-hmm. They have got to figure out a better way and not be playing from behind, so to speak. That's what they're doing. They're entering every game down 6 runs mm-hmm. and looking for a 6-run home run. They're not there. You can't do it. And so they're making these huge mistakes at the wrong times mm-hmm. and small changes could change this. Again, we've said this the whole time. Is NIL out of control? Yes. Is it the worst idea in the world? No, it's not the worst idea in the world. Players, you know, they make a lot of money for these college institutions. I'm not against them getting their fair cut. I am against the guy coming in to Tennessee as an 18-year-old kid, or Texas. I'm looking at Tennessee on the screen, so I keep saying it. Yeah. a kid coming in for Texas making $9.2 million before he's ever even set foot on the field to go to college for free. It's just the timing of this and the lack of foresight is what really grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's a frustration. There's no doubt about it. And the mistakes that they have made, it was almost better in the past when it was dirty to do it than it is. This is dirtier than the dirty. I remember, and this goes way, way back, but in 1985, we were playing the University of Oklahoma. They hadn't played a game yet. We'd played 2 games. We were going to play them in the dome. And so they allowed our coaches to go down there and scout them on their practice field. And the coaches came back and they said, you should see the parking lot. So that was 83 or 85 rather. So that was pre-NIL for sure. There was no NIL back then, but there was a little bit of cheating going on, but nonetheless, nothing like what we're seeing. That actually seemed more fair than what we're looking at right now. This is out of hand. And we've been calling it out and calling it out, but I think they're finally realizing that it is out of hand, and yet it's a very difficult thing to fix right away.
We're getting some text here to thestylesfinancial.com, talking text line 651-461-9226 on this new case that is this new lawsuit that is coming up now, and they're trying to argue about House versus the NCAA. Mm-hmm. We'll get to those next because there's one here that I want us to kind of both weigh in on, Pete, but we're up against the break. So let's take a quick break, come back. We'll talk more about NIL. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Great song. We're having a spirited conversation about the NIL and how the NCAA is trying to put Pandora back in the box. We've got some text to thestylesfinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226. One texter says, it's hard seeing athletes choose their school based off of financial reasons instead of intellectual reasons. Mm-hmm. Don't disagree with that, right? Sure. I mean, that's – but
it's been going on forever.
Here, yeah, exactly. That's been happening for a long, long time.
Yeah.
They athletes, for the most part, are not choosing their school based on academic reputation.
Right.
Right. If that was the case, why would anyone ever choose Oklahoma? Josh, I'm just kidding. That was just a shot at Josh.
Who stopped?
Oklahoma's
that was a good one, too.
Oklahoma's a fine institution.
They'll win a national championship before the Gophers ever even come close to touching it. So let's calm down.
But will they make a bowl game based on their academic prowess like the Gophers did? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's all
I can answer
all
that
academics at Oklahoma. Let me tell you, those test scores are higher than Minnesota ever could touch. So,
another texter says, "I disagree with your guys' takes on NIL. We live in a free market society. If a kid can make millions of dollars doing something, then let him or her do it. If coaches or ADs don't need guardrails for the money they make, why should the kids?" So I'll be clear here that I have no problem with the kids are trying to get as much money as they can. The problem here is that this, to me, Pete, is that the school shouldn't be able to offer that much money to a kid coming out of school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Coming out of high school, rather.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit of a misinterpretation of what we were really saying, which is, you know, and also how about the fairness of two or three players maybe making seven figures and the other, the rest of them, they're contributing, right? I mean, we have gone so far from everybody's got the scholarship, you know, and that's great. You've got some guys that are walk-ons and everything else. Fantastic. But I don't know. I think the disparity is unbelievable. And that's what bothers me probably to some degree.
And I've said this 100 times. Once again, these kids are getting a free college education. Okay. Yeah. We lose that they're getting a free college education and diploma. The other problem I have with this, and I've said this many, many times, you have a men's basketball player and a women's basketball player doing the exact same sport with the exact same practice schedule, with the exact same restrictions on their schedules and their lives. And the male player is going to make more in NIL than the female player. That is not fair. That is not equitable. And that is a major problem with this NIL, the way it's going, to me. That's my humble opinion for what that's worth.
I agree.
We're up against it. We'll take a quick break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, very interesting stuff coming out right now in this House versus the NCAA class action lawsuit. Essentially, what this settlement is proposing is some restrictions on NIL. And basically, the headliner here is that what the deal is has to reflect the athlete's, quote, fair market value, the definition of a valid business purpose related to the promotion or endorsement of goods or services provided for the general public for profit. To police it, the NCAA would set up a third-party clearinghouse, which would require every Division I athlete to submit potential NIL deals that are more than $600 for approval. I read this today after you had talked about it, Pete, and I literally screamed at my computer. I said, this is all well and good. This really is a brilliant way to monitor NIL. But why the heck didn't we do this before? Why wouldn't you come up with these guardrails ahead of time? Because it's impossible to put Pandora back in the box now.
It's incredible. We talked about it right out of the gate, though. We've been on this saying, hey, look, what are the parameters? What limits can be there? And trying to figure things out that would be fair, but also make sense, right? I mean, I think that was something that we've talked about. Anytime we've ever brought up NIL, we've talked about exactly that. I got some really weird stats for you, Dave, when it comes to NIL. So let's do this first one. Over one half of the NIL deals are valued at $100 or less. Now, how many people know that? How about this? The median value, when all is sorted out from the least to the greatest, is $62. Okay. The average value is $2,716. I bring all this up because of the fact that we always hear about these huge ones. And I've got a big one for you right here. The Texas Longhorns, right? In June, they went out and they offered Dia Bell, who is coming out of high school. He graduates in 2026, by the way. Texas Longhorns offered him $9.2 million in his NIL deal, $2 million signing bonus when he signs
That's
up
insane.
For them.
That's
and,
insane.
And an annual number of 1.6 million. I mean, where are we going?
Where are they getting this money? I mean, it's just so interesting that again, we've talked about this. Not surprising that this got way out of control in an immediate hurry, right? I mean, the kid from Texas who showed up and there were like seven Lamborghinis in the parking lot and he got to pick one. It's so dirty and it just makes me want to take a bath. You know, like it's just how are you going to pay an 18-year-old kid $9.2 million to play football for your school? And how are you and this to this point, I think this would clear this up. How would you be able to provide evidence to a third-party clearinghouse that a young man who's 18 years old, who's played high school football, is worth $9.2 million in fair market value?
Yeah.
There's no way to do that.
No.
You just can't. And I think for that reason, there's no way that they're going to be able to get this through because you are limiting what these kids are going to be able to monetize themselves for. Mm-hmm. James Clausen, who's co-founder of the Tennessee NIL Collective and the Volunteer Club, said, quote, I'm reading from Front Office Sports, quote, the NCAA is again restricting an athlete's ability to fully monetize himself. I think that's just going to open up more lawsuits. He's not wrong.
No.
And it's not the kid's fault that these schools and that the NCAA said, all right, let's just open this up. Everybody run. Go ahead. Without putting guardrails on it. And now they're going, oh, whoops, we really messed up. We got to fix this up. Once again, this proves to me that the NCAA is arguably the stupidest governing body out there, that they're trying. Not only are they trying to do this now, but they're trying to do it after they've already made the NIL legal.
It's crazy, Dave. You know, there is some numbers out there, too, where they want to do the revenue share of roughly somewhere between $20 and $22 million a year, right? And most athletic departments in football is like 70-75% of the revenue. But that still puts you at $12.5 to $15 million. As your NIL, essentially. I mean, it's your, you know, share of your revenue. It's these numbers are crazy, and it's amazing how they have just sort of sat back, let this go, try to see what happens, and now trying to figure out how do we fix it? Can we put it back in Pandora's box? We can't. And that's going to be one of the big issues as well. So it's just crazy, you know, and to your point, Dave, I think that when you look back at the NCAA, and we've always known this, or at least we've known it for many, many years, that they seem to make mistakes at almost every turn. And I can even tell you, I sued the NCAA back in my freshman year in 1981 because I played one play of a game, and that counted as an entire year. So I got my year back. Why would I have to have done that? How did that make sense in the first place? The NCAA, they're wrong in just about everything that they do. And that's the part that makes it so frustrating is they just don't seem to have a handle on it. And they've opened this thing up that they can't close. And it's going to be a difficult thing to process for a really, really long time.
And part of the problem here, Pete, is that there's no foresight with this governing body, right? I mean, they basically had no choice but to start to allow NIL, or they were going to lose all the best players in college sports. And so rather than take some time and go, okay, let's think about how this is going to play out, a 5-year plan, a 10-year plan, a 15-year plan, how is this going to go as we move forward, instead of just going, all right, it's Wild West, go ahead and find all your deals. You know, go ahead, much money as you want. Take $9 million from Tennessee and a Lamborghini from Texas and a Lamborghini from there too. But that lack of foresight and that lack of planning is what's the bigger problem here. The NIL is not the problem. It's how they governed and policed it. This lawsuit and these restrictions that they want to do is not the problem. It's the timing in which it's coming out. Mm-hmm. And I just, they have got to figure out a better way and not be playing from behind, so to speak. That's what they're doing. They're entering every game down 6 runs mm-hmm. and looking for a 6-run home run. They're not there. You can't do it. And so this they have, they're making these huge mistakes at the wrong times, and small changes could change this. Again, we've said this the whole time. Is NIL out of control? Yes. Is it the worst idea in the world? No, it's not the worst idea in the world. The players, you know, they make a lot of money for these college institutions. I'm not against them getting their fair cut. I am against the guy coming in to Tennessee as an 18-year-old kid, or Texas. I'm looking at Tennessee on the screen, so I keep saying it. Yeah. a kid coming in for Texas, making $9.2 million before he's ever even set foot on the field, to go to college for free. It's just the timing of this and the lack of foresight is what really grinds my gears.
Yeah, it's a frustration. There's no doubt about it. And the mistakes that they have made, it was almost better in the past when it was dirty to do it than it is. This is dirtier than the dirty. I remember, and this goes way, way, way back, but in 1985, we were playing the University of Oklahoma. They hadn't played a game yet. We'd played 2 games. We were going to play them in the dome. And so they allowed our coaches to go down there and scout them on their practice field. And the coaches came back and they said, you should see the parking lot. So that was 83 or 85 rather. So that was pre-NIL for sure. There was no NIL back then, but there was a little bit of cheating going on. But nonetheless, nothing like what we're seeing. That actually seemed more fair than what we're looking at right now. This is out of hand. And we've been calling it out and calling it out, but I think they're finally realizing that it is out of hand, and yet it's a very difficult thing to fix right away.
We're getting some text here to the stylesfinancial.com talking text line 651-461-9226 on this new case that is this new lawsuit that is coming up now, and they're trying to argue about House versus the NCAA. We'll get to those next because there's one here that I want us to kind of both weigh in on, Pete, but we're up against the break. So let's take a quick break, come back. We'll talk more about NIL. You're listening to The Huddle on 830 WCCO. Great song. We're having a spirited conversation about the NIL and how the NCAA is trying to put Pandora back in the box. We've got some text to the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226. One texter says, it's hard seeing athletes choose their school based off of financial reasons instead of intellectual reasons. Mm-hmm. Don't disagree with that, right? Sure. I mean,
it's been going on forever.
Here, yeah, exactly. That's been happening for a long, long time. Yeah. They athletes, for the most part, are not choosing their school based on academic reputation.
Right.
Right. If that was the case, why would anyone ever choose Oklahoma? Josh, I'm just kidding. That was just a shot at Josh.
Can we stop?
Oklahoma's
that was a good one, too.
Oklahoma's a fine institution.
They'll win a national championship before the Gophers ever even come close to touching it. So let's calm down.
But will they make a bowl game based on their academic prowess like the Gophers did? Huh?
Yeah.
Huh?
It's all academics at Oklahoma. Let me tell you, those test scores are higher than Minnesota ever could touch. So,
another texter says, I disagree with your guys' takes on NIL. We live in a free market society. If a kid can make millions of dollars doing something, then let him or her do it. If coaches or ADs don't need guardrails for the money they make, why should the kids? So I'll be clear here that I have no problem with the kids are trying to get as much money as they can. The problem here is that this, to me, Pete, is that the school shouldn't be able to offer that much money to a kid coming out of school.
Yeah. Yeah,
coming out of high school, rather.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a misinterpretation of what we were really saying, which is, you know, and also, how about the fairness of two or three players maybe making seven figures, and the other the rest of them, they're contributing, right? I mean, we have gone so far from everybody's got the scholarship, you know, and that's great. You've got some guys that are walk-ons and everything else, fantastic, but. I don't know. I think the disparity is unbelievable, and that's what bothers me probably to some degree.
And I've said this 100 times. Once again, these kids are getting a free college education. Okay, yeah. we lose that they're getting a free college education diploma. The other problem I have with this, and I've said this many many times, you have a men's basketball player and a women's basketball player doing the exact same sport. With the exact same practice schedule, with the exact same restrictions on their schedules and their lives. And the male player is going to make more in NIL than the female player. That is not fair. That is not equitable. And that is a major problem with this NIL, the way it's going, to me. That's my humble opinion for what that's worth.
I agree.
We're up against it. We'll take a quick break.